Hi, I'm Jane Lindholm. I'm the host of Vermont Edition, and I just wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Mitch Wertlieb in for Jane Lindholm. Mention the landscape of Vermont and what it's best known for, and most people will say green mountains or farms right off the bat. But conservation experts will tell you that the state of Vermont's forests are just as important to its vitality and health over time, and there may be some cause for concern on that front. A new report called Wildlands and Woodlands reveals that Vermont is losing 1,500 acres of forest land each year. And we have the senior author of that study, David Foster, with us today on the program. David Foster is the director of the Harvard Forest, and his family owns land in Groton that's being preserved by the Vermont Land Trust. We'll hear more on that in a moment. David, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Wonderful to be here with you, Mitch.
And with us in our VPR studios in Colchester is Phil Huffman, director of landscape conservation and policy for the Nature Conservancy in Vermont. Phil, thank you so much for being with us today.
Great to be here, Mitch. Thanks so much for the invitation.
And David Foster, I'd like to start with you. What was the aim of your most recent study, which focused on all the forests of New England? What did it find in relation, though, to Vermont especially?
Well, so the intent of the report was actually to summarize the state of New England with a focus on changes in forests and changes in farms, and also with an eye towards the rate at which land, both farms and forests and other lands, are being conserved across the region. And so what we did was seek to summarize and synthesize all the available data coming out of our research and that of many other people, so that we could be in a position to both relate some of the troubling concerns about the loss of forests and farms, and also highlight some of the optimism that we have for the state of conservation across the region, and the potential for that to help both secure these lands and to support really society's goals moving on into the future.
Well, I'm glad to hear there's some optimism mixed in there with that report, of course, but I do need to ask about that finding that there's some 1,500 acres of annual loss to forest land in Vermont. What are the main forces behind that?
Well, across the region and certainly in Vermont, the major factors behind that is the clearance of forests for residential and commercial development of a variety of types. And we note that that has been ongoing for a few decades now, and the trend is continuing. And so the argument is that the forests and farms that we have are too critical to the state's economy as well as to the ecology of the state to let that continue.
I'd like to get into that now with you, Phil Huffman. How would you categorize the importance of Vermont's forests to the interconnectedness of, let's say, everything?
It's a great question, Mitch. Before I answer that, I might just offer my congratulations and really applause to David and his colleagues at the Harvard Forest and Hystead New England Forestry Foundation for this report, which I think really shines a bright light on very important trends that are going on with respect not only to our forests but also our farmland and what's happening with the way in which people are sort of intersecting with and living on the landscape. So, David, thank you to you and your colleagues for all the great work. It's a very compelling vision and a call to action for all of us. And to your question, Mitch, on the importance of forests and the interconnectedness, we are – everything is interconnected here in Vermont and in the greater region. And our forests play such an important role for both all of us who are lucky enough to live here and call Vermont and New England home, and also for all the other species that we happen to share this part of the planet with. In terms of human values, our forests are really define Vermont in many respects. They're just a critical part of our identity, of our sense of place, of what makes Vermont Vermont, what makes it appealing for all of us to live here, and also for attracting people from other places to come here, whatever time of the year. The forested landscape is really the backdrop and in many ways sort of the golden goose for our tourism economy, something that we can't – maybe we often do but really shouldn't take for granted as we go forward.
So when you saw this report that David put out about the 1,500 acres being lost in Vermont each year of forest land, what was your reaction to that?
Well, it reinforced concerns that we at the Nature Conservancy and colleagues that we work with on conservation issues here in Vermont have been grappling with for a while now. And in fact, it was really interesting to see the figures from this new report. We actually had seen some earlier information from the U.S. Forest Service indicating that the rate of fragmentation and conversion, in fact, in Vermont might be quite a bit higher, to the tune of somewhere around potentially up to 75,000 acres over the course of a six-year period from 2007 to 2013. There's sort of a margin of error in the calculations from the Forest Service with that. But again, it's not to argue over the data, but both of these findings point towards there being really substantial change that's happening before us. And there are lots of impacts, again, both for Vermonters, for our economy, and for nature as we know it.
David Foster, let me ask you this. When we talk about things like, you know, it sounds like a big number, 1,500 acres of forest land in Vermont being lost each year. But what's the – give me an example of what a practical effect of that might be, because it can seem, I don't know, amorphous to some people. It's not something that's necessarily immediate, something like climate change. But if Vermont is losing that much acreage of forest, how would that show itself practically to a Vermonter?
Well, there are a lot of changes that are going on that are associated with that, and they have direct economic effects and indirect economic effects, as well as the kind of broader ecological effects that we might think of. And so what our report tries to do is to relate these kinds of dynamics, this loss of forest and the active and ongoing conservation of land, really to both nature and to society. And if we look at what's happening in Vermont, we're seeing that forests are getting fragmented. Forests are also getting broken up into smaller and smaller ownerships. What that means is that directly, that means that it's less possible to manage our forests as effectively as we have in the past. So that could have a direct impact on wood products industry revenue overall. Indirectly, though, these forests really support society in a variety of ways by producing clean water, by producing clean air, and by storing carbon dioxide, which helps to mitigate climate change. And so we see that in total, the impacts are really quite severe in terms of disrupting nature and over the long term really disrupting the ability of society to support itself from its land and without extraordinary additional expense at providing the kinds of services that nature already does for us.
Well, to that point, we got a note from Nancy who writes, "I'm very concerned at the loss of carbon-absorbing forests from development and now forest fires of increasing intensity." We are speaking right now with David Foster, director of the Harvard Forest, and his family owns some land in Groton, Vermont. We're going to be talking about that in a moment. And with us as well is Phil Huffman, director of Landscape Conservation and Policy for the Nature Conservancy in Vermont. So, Phil Huffman, as you're hearing David Foster talk about these direct and indirect effects of losing forest land in Vermont, I'm wondering about how much forest is actually preserved in the state. How much is privately held, for example? Do we know those numbers?
Yeah, I can offer some statistics at least towards that. So overall, forests in Vermont comprise about 4.6 million acres of the total of about 6 million acres altogether in the state. So it's about – Vermont is now about – somewhere between 75 and 80% forested. And it's really remarkable that that is the case now, whereas 150 years ago, it was the reverse. So Vermont was about 20% forested and about 80% cleared at the height of agriculture, pasturing and things like that before the Midwest opened to agriculture where the soils were more fertile. It was easier to do. So there's been a dramatic change in our forests, the forest cover in Vermont over the course of the last 150 years. years. And up until 10 or 15 years ago, it was a really positive trend, all going on an upward curve towards more and more forests and a rebound towards more of the sort of setting that you would have seen here hundreds of years ago of forests covering the vast majority of the landscape. But what's happened is that that trend crested, and the same is true for the rest of New England, as David's report points out, so that in the last 10 or 15 years now, forests are starting to decline, and we're losing the forest acreage that here in this state and elsewhere, and that is having already starting to have and has the potential for even more impacts in a whole bunch of different ways going forward.
Is there a natural push and pull, and almost, I don't want to say adversarial relationship, but maybe that is the right to term it, between farmers, those who farm the land, need to clear the land, and those who are trying to preserve forests?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, I think there may be some tension around that, but, you know, bottom line is that both farms and forests are really important for Vermont. And I think that, you know, most people who live here in Vermont and people who come from other places would agree that they're both integral parts of our landscape, of our economy, of our sense of place, our way of life. And that I don't think there needs to be or should be an adversarial relationship or sort of conflict between them. There are definitely situations in which it really comes down to the stewardship of the land and the way in which whether it's farms or forests are managed, and if that's being done in a sustainable way for the land, for the waters and whatnot. And there may be situations where there's activity going on that's maybe more intensive for a particular location, and that things could be moderated a bit, and some, you know, no longer productive agricultural land could be reverted to forest and provide greater benefits to society, those sorts of things. But in general, I think there's lots of room for a coexistence, has been for a long time, needs to be in the future.
David Foster, I want to ask about something I alluded to before, and that's the fact that your family owns quite a bit of land in Groton, which I understand you've been working with Vermont Land Trust to preserve a lot of that land. What's happening there?
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that because it's one of the enterprises that has really brought our family together and has been a very satisfying chapter of all of our lives. In fact, this past weekend, we hosted a group as part of the 40th anniversary of the Vermont Land Trust on one of its 40 walks and visits to lands that they've conserved. So We own about 650 acres of forest land up adjoining Groton State Forest and lying between that property and a fish and wildlife area, the Levi Pond Wildlife Management Area. Hmm. We were able to work successfully with the Vermont Land Trust to conserve that area in its entirety as one block. And at the same time, we basically follow essentially the kind of prescription that we lay out in this paper, in which we manage the bulk of the land actively for timber products and forest conditions that fit well with the land and with our activity. And we've set about 10% of the property aside to be a forever wild reserve in which nature will predominate over the landscape, and the forest will continue to get old. We did that because that part of our property actually occupies the watershed of a small pond, which the state of Vermont has owns the other half of the watershed, and they've decided to manage their portion, about 240 acres, in exactly the same way, essentially to allow it to develop into an old-growth forest. And so it really is a situation in which the state, a land trust, and a family was able to work together to accomplish goals that work for everyone, and leave the landscape intact in perpetuity.
Sounds a lot like what Phil Hubman was saying just before about sort of the balance there, that you can have that cooperation between preserving much of this land and having some harvesting going on. I understand that hikers would be able to see some of the harvest up around that way.
Oh, yeah. The land is all open for public access and, in fact, isn't posted at all, so it's very difficult to tell whether you're on our property or state property or abutting property. But just to follow up on that point, I would like to add one thing. I thought Phil did a wonderful job in describing the balance there. But if you look at our report, it's called Wildlands, Woodlands, Farmlands and Communities, and that's for a purpose. That's because we don't think that there really needs to be a struggle or division between forest and farmland. We also don't think that there needs to be a sharp division and antagonism between conservation and development. We actually think that communities benefit so greatly from their forest land and their farmland, whether they're rural communities or even urban communities in which the forests are actually reduced down to individual trees, to parks, to stream corridors, and the farms are community gardens. They're of such great benefit that we as a society, individual communities, should be investing in conserving those to serve both nature and society well. And we can do that because a lot of this development of and conversion of forests and farms is really unnecessary. In other words, it's not because we're out of space for farms or we're out of or for commercial activity or residences. It's because we're not planning well and we're not making decisions that really are looking to the long-term future of the land and the needs of future generations.
We're speaking with David Foster, director of the Harvard Forest. He's on the line with us, and Phil Huffman is here in our studios, director of Landscape Conservation and Policy for the Nature Conservancy in Vermont. We've got some calls we're going to get to in just a moment, but I want to ask you first, Phil Huffman, that David mentioned something about old growth, and you know, I've heard that term old growth forest many times, and I have to admit, I'm sure this is an obvious answer to you. I'm not sure exactly what that means. I would assume that all forest is sort of old growth. What does that term actually mean?
Yeah, it's a great question. It is a term that gets tossed around and may not always be clearly understood. It's basically a reference to old forests that have been around for a long time or are being managed in a way that will let them become that in the future. And it's a very small percentage of our landscape in Vermont and in New England at this point because of human activity on the landscape over decades and centuries now. There is a really important value that old growth forests provide or older forests and forests that are left to, in unmanaged ways to for natural processes to run their course. They provide different forms of habitat and other sorts of things.
So we're talking primarily about forests that's kind of untouched by human hands in many ways. That would be more an old growth forest.
It's heading towards old growth. Yeah,
I see.
That would
okay.
be, you know, sort of it's the wildlands component of the wildlands and woodlands vision. So the wildlands part of it. Which the authors point out would be the, you know, small, relatively modest percentage of the landscape overall, but is where essentially nature is left to run its course, and that over time that will move towards more of sort of what are referred to offhandedly as old growth conditions.
Let's go to the phones. We've got John on the line from Stratford. Hi, John.
Hi. Thanks so much for this important program. And
sure.
Like many of the issues you bring up, it's important that we acknowledge a few things. First, as mentioned, there are 4.6 million acres of forest land in Vermont. 1,500 acres, actually, if you divide it by 251 towns in Vermont, means a loss of about 5.9 acres per year. Or if you take it overall, it's less than 0.03%. So it's really a small amount of forest land in comparison to how much forest land we have that's being lost. That being said, you know, we should also recognize that the state of Vermont has long had programs like current use, like strong forest logging management programs, that really encourage preservation of our forests and also proper use in terms of harvest, how we harvest them and how we maintain them. So, you know, we shouldn't overemphasize while we should recognize that this is an ongoing issue that we should be aware of, we should base it on what the actual facts are, as well as recognizing the many efforts that Vermont has made to preserving this valuable resource.
John, thank you. Thank you very much for that. David Foster, what do you think about John's comments there? Is there somewhat of an overreaction to this 1,500-acre loss per year?
Well, I welcome those comments. You know, our report really looks kind of comprehensively at the region as well as individual states. And a couple of the things that he brings up are part of the reason that I mentioned optimism at the beginning. Mm. So one of the points that we emphasize is that although the rate of land protection, conservation in Vermont as well as the region has actually slowed in recent years, that in the last 25 years, New England as a whole, and certainly Vermont, has been in its most rapid rate of land protection. So this is a phenomenal achievement. In the last 25 years, we have conserved 50% of all the land that's protected in the region. So there is great interest, as he suggests. There is great achievement. But at the other hand, we also have done a lot of scientific studies looking at the way the forest is responding to everything from atmospheric pollution to climate change to insects. And if you project out over a 50-year period, the single factor that's going to have the biggest impact on the health and function of our forests, and therefore our forest's ability to deliver goods and services to society, is active clearance and mismanagement of forests. And so while the numbers may seem small, one has to remember that when climate change or other factors, insects and other things, influence a forest, they alter it in modest ways that change the way that it functions. Mm-hmm. Land clearance eliminates that forest forever. So that forest stops at that point delivering all the water filtration, air filtration, habitat provision, everything else. And so even small numbers in aggregate, and of course we're looking, if we look New England-wide over 50 years, we're talking about losing 1.2 million acres of forest. Those aggregate numbers can have a big impact.
Yeah, Mitch, if I could just pick up on that. David, thank you for those comments. And I agree. You know, I want to be clear that from our perspective at the Nature Conservancy, and I think it's, you know, comes through clearly in the Wildlands and Woodlands report as well, this is not about precluding development at all, and that it's about trying to be smart about how we do it and be really mindful of what the trends are that are going on right now and what's at risk if development and forest fragmentation is happening in a really sort of haphazard kind of way and where there isn't strategic thinking being done about what the values are that forests provide for us, which ones are most important to conserve, how that can best be done, what sorts of further progress can be made on conserving key places, collaborating with landowners on sustainable management of forests and things like that. There are some other trends that are really, really concerning in terms of the demographic of forest landowners in Vermont that at the moment about 2.9 million acres, or 62% of Vermont's forests, are owned by families and individuals. So really, you know, important statistic. And of that, males over the age of 55 account for 65% of the forest owners, and people over 75 years old account for about 15% of the forest owners. So there's an aging demographic going on among forest landowners, and there's concern about the potential as those owners continue to age about that they will be transferring their lands at some point in the future, whether to another member of their own family or to a future owner. and that wanting to really be smart and strategic and helpful with those landowners to make sure that their vision for their land can be carried out as things go forward and as those transfers start to take place.
Well, is the state, in your opinion, doing enough to foster that that care, that relationship, getting in touch with these owners, saying, you know, what do you plan on doing with this land?
Yeah, I think that there's great work being done, no question, by the state, consulting foresters and the county foresters who work for the state. Vermont Department of Forest, Parks, and Recreation do a fantastic job. There are other nonprofit partners of ours, Vermont Woodlands Association, Coverts, organizations like that, who are on the front lines of providing some of that advice and assistance to landowners. There's always more to do, though. And, you know, there's a lot of private forest landowners out there with varying levels of understanding and whatnot of what the options may be for the future of their land. So always more to do.
We've got Bruce on the line from Essex. Hi, Bruce.
Hi. Great show. Thank you, Vermont Edition, for bringing David from Harvard Forest to the phone. I have the book New England Forests Through Time on my desk. Well, great book, but certainly not as good as a visit to the Fisher Museum and seeing the diorama of forest history in New England, which is absolutely wonderful. I encourage visitors to listeners to go down. It's not far off of Interstate 91. But, David, in the preface to that book, you wrote, "The inadvertent and unplanned recovery of the New England and Eastern forests provides society with something quite remarkable, a second chance." And you then went and wrote, "Consequently, the great environmental story of recovery by the Eastern Forest is not a foregone conclusion. The conclusion of this story will be determined by what we make of our second chance." And when you wrote inadvertent and unplanned recovery, that suggested to me that the recovering nature of our forests, I hate to say recovered because that sounds final, but the recovering nature of our forests was less done by human agency and more by circumstance and happenstance and events. Could you explain that a little bit better?
Well, I'd be happy to try, and I think you've nailed it right on the head. If you think back, the peak of deforestation, that is, as Phil mentioned, the actual peak of agricultural land clearance and forest cutting in much of New England took place at the middle of the 19th century, when Henry David Thoreau was, working and walking around Concord. He despaired about the fate of the forest, but he also made observations that when a farmer occasionally left his farm without cattle and without mowing for a year or two, it started to develop a crop of trees. And from that, he coined the term succession and succession of forest trees. And he died before he saw the end result of that across the New England landscape. But essentially, as Phil mentioned, the United States grew. Canals and railroads connected the West and Midwestern United States, where there were great agricultural lands. And agriculture shrank, at least in terms of land area, in New England, and New England industrialized. So at the same time that the population grew at a faster rate, old farmland became forest. And it was really quite inadvertent. It was really it was nature reclaiming the land that had been cleared. And the end result of that was by the 1980s, a peak in forest cover all across New England. And that's what we term the result of this inadvertent activity that provides New England a second chance to determine the fate of its forest. And, you know, the first time settlers and colonists decided to clear that forest for agriculture because they needed the land to feed themselves. Well, now we're looking at it, and we should make a very conscious decision about how we treat the land, our forests and our remaining farms. And just to underscore another thing that Phil said, you know, it isn't against development at all. We can develop smartly, wisely, strategically, locally in ways that can accommodate more people, more activity, and still take advantage of these forests and marvelous farmlands that we have that feed us and provide us lots of other goods and services.
I thank you for the call, Bruce, from Essex. And I see what is happening here, that David's saying about, you know, there doesn't have to be that conflict between development and between forestry. But Phil Huffman, what about that other elephant in the forest, I hate to put it that way, that we're, you know, we've mentioned here but not extensively, and that's climate change? I mean, what is the effect of that on our forests here?
Yeah, boy, we could use another hour or more to talk that through. And, it's a great follow-on to the On Point show that some of your listeners may have heard right before we jumped on. Climate change is a huge issue for our society and for all of the other species that we share this place with in a whole bunch of different ways. We're faced with challenges of responding to and adapting to the change that's already underway, and the way in which that's affecting human communities as well as natural communities and species. And their forests play a huge role in helping with that by helping to absorb and spread out and slow down rainwater so that any storm events are less damaging than they might be otherwise. You look back at the mid-1800s, and Vermont is a story of devastation because of the loss of forests and the flooding and erosion that resulted. So there's that. Forests play a huge role in helping to slow down climate change by absorbing carbon, as David touched on this earlier. Our forests in Vermont and in the rest of this region are actually globally significant for this forest type, and they are a huge sink for carbon, pulling carbon out of the air and storing it in the trees and in their roots and in the soils and whatnot. So all kinds of importance of forests in the context of climate change, both in adapting to it and dealing with it as it's happening, and also helping to slow it down.
Yeah, the final chapters on this story have certainly not been written yet. I want to thank both of you so much for giving us what's been happening up until this point. David Foster is director of the Harvard Forest and the senior author of the new Wildlands and Woodlands Report on the State of New England Forest. David Foster, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Mitch. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
And Phil Huffman, Director of Landscape Conservation and Policy for the Nature Conservancy in Vermont. Thank you so much, Phil.
Thanks very much, Mitch. A real pleasure to be here.